Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
Hamas doesn't care about the civilian population in Gaza. They embed themselves in civilian areas. They use hospitals and schools and mosques. They want those civilians dead.
Fighting for Idaho.
And the Harry Reid Senate has become a factory for show votes, where votes are made that are more interested in winning votes for Democrats in November elections than they are for winning jobs for the American people. That's become the norm.
Fighting for you.
It's one thing to listen to people and to talk with them when you are a candidate for a position. Now, I think that we might have a qualitatively different conversation. I want to listen first before trying to give my views.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
We need to look out for one another, and that's what we try and do here each and every day.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Finally, some sanity this morning. Dave Petzl with us here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller as well. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So now Dave Petzl, has the day of reckoning arrived for you and your market promoters?
No. We pulled back a tiny bit from all-time highs. I'm sorry for those folks out there that would like to see the market crash and burn. I'm not sure why, but anyway. No, we have normal corrections all the time, Kevin. It's a part of it. I remember a year or so ago, about a year and a few months, when the Federal Reserve first started talking about tapering, right?
Right.
And so then the market pulled back about 7-8% real fast, and out of the woodwork came all the bears. It was all over. We're all going to die. It was all phony anyway. And as they have continued to taper, the market's marched 30% up. So, no, I think it's fine, and corrections are normal, Kevin.
Indeed, but wasn't this like the largest 2-day drop ever, something like that?
No. The data miners were accurate, I'm sure, as they mined through all the last couple of years to tell us that it was the worst 2-day drop in 2 years.
Right, but with reference to that, I mean, let's take a look at the front page of the New York Times today, and you're going, gosh, thanks, Kevin. I'm glad I came in for this, but you know, we do the reporting fair and balanced here, or yeah, whatever you'd like to define it as. Far from 10% correction, investors' pain mounts. What do you make of
investors
that?
Investors what now?
Far from 10% correction, comma, investor pain mounts.
Oh, pain. Yeah, okay. It's long ways from a 10% correction, yes, but the pain is mounting. Well, I guess they ran out of headlines for the day, Kevin. Maybe we need a jetliner to go down.
Wow, Dave Petzl.
I'm sorry, but this is no. I'm just saying, really, seriously. You know, in the last week, I've not seen more negative headlines since the market was down huge in 2008. It was absolutely something else. And even at times when the market was up last week, which it was, this correction's not big. Here's the difference, though. What people don't realize is when you look at the indices themselves, the Dow, for example, is flat for the year, right? It's not up at all. The S&P is still up. The NASDAQ's up.
Now, you're a big fan of the S&P.
I'm a bigger fan of the S&P.
Is that your favorite, the S&P?
It's the best of the major indices, yes.
Okay.
It's not my favorite? No. That would probably be the MSCI World. How's that for a mouthful of garbage?
Yeah, you lost me.
Okay, I know. Exactly. That's right. So that's the point. Of the major ones, the S&P is far and away better. The Dow's only 30, okay? Here, let me just take a quick moment. This will take just a second. There's only 30 stocks in the Dow.
Hold on. Do me a favor.
Yes.
Talk slowly so I can keep up.
You keep up. You're out here way ahead of me.
Yes, okay.
Way ahead.
All right, go ahead, please. This will be
okay,
good.
Okay, the Dow index is only 30 stocks. That's okay. It. Okay, so it's not broad.
Right.
And further, it's what they call price-weighted. Now, I'm not going to go into the weeds here on this, but just to say that a $100 stock in the Dow, like IBM, has five times the weighting of a $20-ish dollar stock like Alcoa. That doesn't make any sense. So it has to. So it's really about the giant, our high-priced companies in the Dow index, and there's only 30 of them. So it's not very broad. That's why you see in the year like this, you'll see that the markets broadly are up, but the Dow happens to not be, or right. the Dow is doing better, and it's all happenstance. So anyway, now to take that and then to say all of these different indices and all the negativity out there, they're barely off from their all-time highs, Kevin. It's just the but within that, underneath that, there are some companies out there that have been hit pretty hard, and that's where the pain, if you will, could be felt. And I didn't not read that article, so maybe they are talking about individual stocks. But there are some out there that are down 10-20%.
Well, you know, and people are concerned, as they should be. So let's go over some more headlines here with Dave Pezzo, Pezzo Financial, the Pezzo Center, the Pezzo Institute, with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Will August whip up storm clouds on Wall Street, Dave Pezzo?
Yeah, no. No. No more than any other August. Do the traders want some storm clouds? Yes. I mean, what happens in August normally is that everybody goes to the beach, right? It's just dull. And that's what I would expect this August to be as well, just dull. Now, if we get some headlines and Russia continues to become a bigger problem, that to me is the biggest problem out there. That would be my biggest concern is Russia, because of its impact on Europe, which then impacts the U.S. corporate profits.
Well, what about the idea of the Middle East, though, with the situation in Gaza, Hamas, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and others could be pulled into it, and its impact it has on, you know, gas prices here?
It has little impact, and Kevin, as you well know, it's this would be for you and I in our lifetime, Middle East Part 63, right? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. I think I even heard a report about this particular situation, that this is the fourth time that Hamas has said, "We'll not, you know, let's do a ceasefire," and then they just, you know, months later start launching rockets again. This time the Israelis had had enough after four different times and came in and blew up all the. I want to blow up all the tunnels so they can diminish their capacity to do that.
Dave Pezzo with us here as we continue on at 580KIDO. You take a look at the front page of the paper today when we're taking a look at the states, and state gas prices defy trend, with much of the U.S. paying less at the pumps. AAA Idaho calls for more transparency. Now, this has been going on for quite some time, and we usually get the same argument. Well, you know, Dave Pezzo, Kevin Miller at 580KIDO, we're never the first to raise it. We're always the last to lower it down, and then when it goes up, we're the last, da-da-da-da-da. Do you buy that?
No. No, it's not. We're not the first. We're not the last. It's the price out of the pipeline. As long as it's competitive, I'm fine. It doesn't really matter. If you go to a place like California, what matters to me is the stupidity of their environmental laws makes it so expensive to blend the gasoline that it's really, really expensive there. And some places have higher taxes. Idaho has a very high tax. We are a very high tax state, by the way, Kevin, probably the highest for a conservative state. But it's not just the it's certainly we're not ever going to be the lowest because our state gas tax is very high. But at any rate, as long as there are multiple competitors in the market, I don't think there's price fixing, and that's what I'm concerned about.
Right, but is there a way to handle that, if you will? Is there a way to, you know, get us so we do have lower prices here?
Only to lower the gas tax, yeah. That would be it.
Well, you know, the
as long as it's competitive, yeah. You know, if somebody can show me that they are colluding on prices, then fine. Then they should be taken out and strung up. But otherwise, government intervention is silly. It just says, I want to set prices, and pretty soon we want to set prices for hamburgers and everything else. And people say, that's ridiculous. Well, why don't we take the argument for, you know, anything? Everybody is concerned about guns. So, I'm not a big gun guy, but I think people have the right to carry their own weapons. But look at what people are concerned about, that they can't have an Uzi at home. Why? Because that leads to other issues, meaning they're going to start taking every little bit away. We don't want to start setting prices or saying what's competitive or not unless there is colluding on price. And then you betcha, I believe, that the trust, they come in and bust the trust like we did in this country 100 years ago.
Dave Pezzo with us, the Pezzo Center, as we continue on here at 580KIDO. Let's take a look at a few more headlines here from USA Today. USA's love affair with debt is a problem. You agree with that?
Of course. Yeah. But first of all, since headlines are there to just if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead. Okay, we get that.
Right.
Okay, so it's always a negative headline. It's not going to be something like the event right here that you did a month ago, God and Country. That's good news. That talks about positive on the family and that kind of stuff, right? That's not going to be on the lead on a newspaper. It's going to be our gas prices, how we're being ripped off here, we're ripped off there. It's all going to end soon. That's the way it always is. That's the way the headlines are always going to read. So when we think about that, you have to recognize that these are not always going to be irrelevant to what really is going on out there.
Right. Again, though, you take a look at where we are right now. There's not a lot going on except that slight dip. Do you expect the markets to correct this week?
I don't. I think they'll actually bounce back this week. Now, mm-hmm. that again, having said that, Kevin, I'm going to be the guy that you get to make fun of, like a stopped watch every once in a while, us optimists.
That's how I show my affection.
I know. I don't take it hard. It's okay. It's okay. It's generally the markets trend higher, but we have definitely got terrible corrections, sometimes called bear markets.
Yes.
When they get really bad.
When's the bear coming, Dave?
Nobody knows. That's the key, and yet people will pretend that they knew, and the bears that have always been wrong, except like a stopwatch whenever there's a bear market, they never are optimistic, but they get more press and they get more forgivance. I understand that. That's part of it. That's part of the game I'm in, but I'm going to be wrong plenty, and the market does go down. It actually goes down 27% of the years.
Dave Petzo with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Talking about the markets and money, we'd love to take your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's talk about anything locally going on here. Any big news?
Micron had a big move last week. Okay, the stock was down very substantially. Now, remember, Kevin, this is a company that I'm going to say it was about 4 years ago is trading below $5 a share.
Right.
And then for a couple years, maybe between 5 and 10. And we're now, it rode up to 35 and pulled back last week almost 10% in a day. That's a bad day. On what news? It was Samsung is going to build out a fab. They're going to increase production. It's the first time in this industry that people have in years built any new fabs in the world.
And what's
any
a
company. Fabrication, where they build the chips.
They're going to do it themselves.
Samsung is building a fabrication to make more chips, to run more lines of chips. So they'll be able to make more microchips, both DRAM, flash memory, whatever else.
Sure. Now, how does that impact Micron?
Prices. They're concerned now that we're going to overbuild as an industry, that Micron's going to build a new fab, maybe Hynix, and Samsung's going to, and then we oversupply, prices collapse, and bang, you have money losses again for Micron, et cetera. So people were concerned this finally happened. Somebody broke ranks and is going to go ahead and build out a fab. But supply has been constrained for so long, and demand is just continuing to accelerate. We put chips in everything, but autos are now consuming a huge number of chips, and we all know we walk around with more computing power than put the man on the moon
Yes. In
our pockets. Well, those cell phones have tons of chips in them, memory, and also our tablets. So we have a huge and growing need for more supply, and it's been constrained. So this, I think, is overdone, but I understand the reaction of the market saying, hey, you guys have done this for 30 years. When times are good, you overbuild, and then you all lose money again, and we're all going to lose money again. So I don't think it's going to happen. We're down to three companies in the world, Hynix, Samsung, and Micron. It's a perfect oligopoly. It's perfectly profitable. It's a beautiful situation, and I think it was a buying opportunity.
More coming up with Dave Petzo next at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Can't we all get along when it comes to stocks and markets and everything else? Kevin Miller in the morning, Dave Petzo with us here at 580KIDO. So the international impact of the Gaza-Hamas situation, that's not going to affect fuel prices here. We're not going to have people going, oh, no, blah, 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 blah. We're going to have to raise gas prices.
To a degree, they'll use it. They'll talk about it. But I think it's just headlines, Kevin. That's all it is. It's,
well,
I mean, it's a real human event. but it is not critical to the world supply of oil.
Indeed, as we move along. So we've got oil, we've got computers. Now, I'm a big fan of Bloomberg Business Week, and I was reading an article in it about the revival of Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really, this is my homework to try and keep up with you.
Okay.
And apparently, there's this company called, I think, 3G or something like that, the big investment firm that bought Burger King. And they invested in, like, I think the CEO of Burger King is 24, 27, something like that.
Hmm.
And they really believe in young people. And, hey, that's great. And we all used to be young. But then you can start to think about it. You know, is that ageism where, hey, we prefer the young people because not every great CEO, even though the average age of a CEO is, I think, 51 or 54, you know, not every CEO is great because they're old, but you do have that business experience and life experience.
Right.
Are we gonna see more of folks like that hiring the millennials?
I don't think so. I disagree with that. I think it makes no sense at all. You can prefer all you want, and quite probably it will naturally be that way. In something like social media, Kevin, it's just by nature, old guys like me are not really, we're just not going to be in that space and understand it as well. We don't use it as much, and so it's going to be younger people in that space. But for something, as you point out, generally speaking, like a Burger King, a large restaurant or retail outlet, I think you're going to see people with experience, not people who are brand new and can talk a good game. I thought we learned that when we learned about a president who's done nothing in his life, but he gives a good speech, and so he's the smartest guy on the planet. Experience matters. It matters a lot.
It does indeed. And then we take a look at some of the politics creeping into the economy. You know, the president wants $2 or $3 billion for the border crisis. I just don't know where he's going to get the money. And Congress wants to give him, I think, $500 million, but that's still, whether you're this company, Petso Financial, or anything other, those are unbudgeted expenses.
They are, but they'll just do it. It doesn't matter. They just borrow more. You know, when they have a need that comes up, they're going to do it. And if we went to war or something like that, they're going to fund the war. They always have, and whether if it's deficit or not. So, in this particular case, the president had multiple opportunities prior to this to come up with some kind of a reasonable border plan, immigration reform. He had plenty of time to come up with corporate reform. That's something that's just huge right now on Wall Street, are these corporate inversions where companies are leaving the United States and going elsewhere so they have lower tax rates. And now the president wants them to just stop doing it. But again, we've had 6 years of this guy doing nothing with mounting problems, and now we're going to throw $3 billion at the border. That's not going to solve anything. That's just not the problem. That's not the problem. People want to come here, and we have no way of telling them they're not going to come here, or they're going to do it legally.
You know, the cover of Bloomberg this week is Coke's fat problem. A lot of people are still drinking Cokes, but they're becoming more health conscious. Of course, the healthy water business has been blowing up. If, whether you're Coca-Cola or any person that has been in business, a heritage brand,
yep,
what is the struggle to remain relevant and successful in this ever-changing dynamic world that we live in today?
Right, and it is. You have to keep reinventing yourself. You can have a brand last for ages, and Coke has. It's an amazing brand. But now they're being hit with the fact that drinking soda, whether it's diet or not, is terribly unhealthy for your body. And people are thinking, you know, maybe there's a better alternative. I don't have to have a soda. Maybe I'll try something else. So they are buying out other brands, and they're trying to come up with vitamin waters and things like that to stay relevant. And hopefully they can, you know, feel like maybe people will have one Coke as a treat per day. And we're not going to get people to drink a case of it a day anymore because they just aren't going to destroy their bodies that way. Now, some people do. Some people still smoke, right? I get that, but those folks are going to be fewer and fewer out there. So we do have, I think it's a tough road for Coke ahead.
Two more questions for Dave Petso here at 580KIDO. Not just Argentina, but we've got 11 other countries near bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the drag on the world economy if that goes down?
Well, Argentina has no drag because they're expected to be. They're basically uninvestable, have been for ages. So they've got a terrible economy because nobody will invest in their country, or few do. And this is the reason why, because it's a police state. They just this lady and her husband, I can't think of their name right now, the the president and the past president, her husband, and have just looted the country and decided that it just doesn't matter. If there's the deficits are difficult, let's not make difficult decisions. Let's just bankrupt the currency. Let's just make the traders, the people that hold the paper, let's make them just go to, you know, go bankrupt on the paper. And that's what they've done, and people won't invest there. So I don't think Argentina is an issue. I do think that collectively the European banks are a problem, but I also believe that the ECB, European Bank, is going to do everything, as they say, that they have to make sure it does not become a bigger problem.
And speaking of a bigger problem, it looks like more and more recalls for General Motors. Apparently now the victims are claiming they're from the faulty ignition fund, taking the money there. I mean, GM is big, too big to fail, except when the government had to help them out. But mm-hmm. this is not good news, whether you're GM, Toyota, Ford, whomever, that your product is defective and has cost people their lives.
Yeah, I think it's time to take another look at owning. Now, I know the stock's down, and I don't usually like to say to sell out of a stock that is down a little bit. But I think you have to be cautious with all the autos right now. They've been selling a lot of automobiles, and that's great news. But that's not the time to own them historically anyway. And then you add in these problems with potential litigation and recalls. The recalls are so expensive, as you know, Kevin. All of these millions of cars have to come back for parts.
Sure.
And, you know, it turns a profitable situation into a completely non-profitable situation. So all these recalls are just over and over and over. And eventually, like you and I talked last week, this may not affect sales today, but at some point, the quality issue is in the back of people's minds. And how do you overcome that? You don't. The sales go down.
Well, a challenge for the good folks, and I used to talk about this all the time in Pittsburgh when we had Cash for Clunkers. The challenge, you know, I worry about the people at the dealers. I worry about the people that the dealerships themselves that have to sell these cars.
Yep.
Because, you know, you take a look at some of these Chevys that are being recalled. GM is so, for lack of a better term, incompetent mm-hmm. that the parts are taking weeks and months. And I'm sorry, this car is defective.
Right.
Don't tell me not to weigh down my keychain. I want it fixed. I paid good money for this.
That's right. That's right.
So why would you, as you said, why would I buy another car like that again, which hurts the dealers and the salesmen, the people that are victims in this?
That's right, and they are, and it's all the way through the chain. It's no different than a franchisee for Burger King
right.
or whoever, and then all of a sudden, you know, three states away, or your supplier has tainted meat.
Right.
You know, we're all connected throughout that whole chain, and it is a very, very tenuous thing for all the people, whether they're the ones that have any responsibility or not. They're connected, both good and bad, with that name.
Dave Petso, the Petso Center, Petso Financial, the Petso Institute, of course, Saturdays, 8 to 10, right here at 580 KIDO. Dave, thank you very much.
Kevin, always a pleasure. Thank you. See you Saturday.
And we'll talk China.
Yes, of course. We're due.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
True Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
We have to stop Ronan.
How? I have a plan. You've got a plan. Yes. First of all, you're copying me from when I said I had a plan.
No, I'm not. People say that all the time. It's not that unique of a thing to say.
Secondly, I don't even believe you have a plan.
I have part of a plan.
What percentage?
I don't know. 12%.
12%?
Kevin Miller in the morning. There you have it. A raccoon, a guy that makes a lot of 80s references and a bunch of aliens. The number one movie in the country, The Guardians of the Galaxy, an August opening record, $94 million. Here's the skinny on Marvel Studios. They're very smart. Unlike a lot of folks that open their movies in June or July, if you notice with most Marvel releases, whether it's Iron Man or Thor or Captain America, or even now The Guardians of the Galaxy, they open when there is little to no competition. Lucy in number two, when you think about it. But, I mean, Scarlett Johansson versus a gun-toting space raccoon. I guess there is no competition. Coming up, we're going to take a look at, well, the new administration's rules concerning what your kids are going to eat in school. But before we get to that here, and by the way, coming up next hour, Wayne Allen Root will join us along with new state GOP chairman Stephen Yates. We'll get a chance to get his thoughts on the future of the state of Idaho with the Republican Party, what it, his chairmanship means, and, of course, Wayne Allen Root, who went to school. I believe he went to Columbia with Barack Obama. But something I shared on 580KIDO's Facebook and KIDO AM's Facebook is an argument between Kirsten Powers and Tucker Carlson on the children that are coming across the border. Heck, last night at church, Father Len was talking about the children. Everybody's talking about the children. And are you a Christian and a good Christian from Kirsten Powers by refusing these kids to come in? Let's take a listen.
You're saying that the United States has an obligation. Yes. Anyone who's suffering around the world has a right to come here and be supported
and break,
by you and me.
Break the law.
Hey, have you ever been to the Statue of Liberty?
I'm sorry, this is how we
okay, I like the statue, no, but, no, but I love that you're
you
putting
it
in clear
that
language.
Like
so you're saying in Congo, for example, where there's been a war for 20 years,
I'm saying yes,
every Congolese has a moral right to come here.
We
you have a moral obligation
refuge.
To pay for it.
We are a refuge okay. to the people of the world who look to us as a shining city on the hill. Does that sound familiar
we
to you?
We would have.
And all those people
have,
did
you
know, it legally. Legal.
Not,
immigration.
No, because immigration.
Why does everyone get to break the law?
So radically different, and immigration and asylum are not the same thing.
So I have a moral obligation to share my earnings
yes,
and my country with
do.
People I've never met because they are suffering.
Are you
suffering.
A Christian?
I am absolutely
okay,
a Christian.
Okay, have you read the Bible? Because
this
the Bible
is not a theocracy.
Is
so no, no, no. This is not, country's not
you're
run
now,
according to Christian precepts
here. You're telling me that you don't have any obligation
no,
as a Christian
are,
to prepare
no,
for
no, but you're not saying that. No, you're not. No, no. What
that
you're saying is the U.S. government has a responsibility. Now, you may have a Christian obligation.
You're talking about your taxes.
You can give charity money. That's a massive
We are
difference.
A nation of laws.
What
we have laws on
the
books. The
country?
And, but Kirsten, other people have followed
the
so every person?
I didn't say every person
so what's
can
the
apply
line?
For asylum. This is I didn't make this up. Our country is based
oh, I'm
on
aware.
This.
Ted Kennedy did.
You know,
in 1965,
really,
I remember.
You've never heard of the America as a refuge of people who are persecuted?
Oh, I've seen the bumper sticker,
Kirsten
but what does that mean?
Just made this up?
The bottom
really?
Line is, though,
no, what does that mean, precisely?
No, no, you
I've been around. I've seen the suffering. We have 15... How many
why did Ronald Reagan say that we're a shining city on the hill of the world?
Because we are.
Because
we're also a nation of laws.
People do not condone lawbreakers.
Does any other country have this obligation or just ours?
Other countries, of course they can't, but we're talking about our country. Are you saying that people who have been fleeing persecution in history
they
have not come to the United
they
States?
They have a moral... No, of course they have. But they don't have a moral right to American tax dollars and physical asylum in the United States.
So
they just don't.
They also don't have a legal right.
So we
right.
didn't have any... So you don't think that Jewish people who were fleeing pogroms should have been allowed into our
country? Oh, come
country.
On now. That's
what?
Just completely silly.
Well,
I'm not,
you just tell me we have no moral... Oh,
yeah,
we,
no, I'm very against letting people flee for God.
Why
no, that's
you,
not...
Why
I'm not even going to engage on that.
That's persecution.
You've been talking
No, but Kirsten, what we're trying to say is you can't just say, okay, now it's all about, okay, if you're a Christian and you're a good Christian, then you let everybody come in
Catholic,
and break the law.
The Catholic
My
Church
point
would
is,
say that. It's not breaking
there is
the law
a
to
way,
seek asylum.
Hold on.
Yeah, they would
Here's,
say that.
There is a
it's,
way to do it, to seek it. There is a way to seek asylum legally.
That's what they're doing. They're
why don't
there
they pay
they
for it?
For
when church groups encourage people to come to this country and then they go on the dole, when they go on taxpayer
oh
assistance,
the
it's
church,
appalling.
The church groups are the only people that are handling these kids.
Really? Because, no, they're referring them.
100%
they're referring them to government services. I've seen it.
100%
Talk about shirking your Christian duty.
Hold on. No, 100% of the people who are taking care of these kids that I have interviewed are with Christian organizations. The
and
Catholic
how many of those organizations sign them up for
and
public service?
No, they get they have to work with the government.
Yeah, really? They do? That's your Christian duty to shirk the cost? To send the cost to somebody
so
else who you've never met?
You're now attacking the Catholic Church for
No, I'm not attacking any
refugees.
Specific church. I'm
no,
merely saying
is.
Your Christian duty entails your work, your money, your effort,
it
your
is
charity,
effort.
Not that of others.
Not the government.
It is their effort.
No, it's not.
Okay, but you also can't seek asylum because you're fleeing a bad economy.
That's not a fleeting
That's
bad
not
economy,
ground.
Kimberly.
No, but,
fleeing
but
violence.
You can't. You have to have specific case by
they're,
case.
But they're fleeing you, violence.
There are 100 okay, countries with violence in them right
they
now.
Have,
well,
they
not,
should have the opportunity
way,
to prove their case
not,
and show that they meet the criteria
exactly.
and the legal
exactly
standards.
Right.
But you can't just lump
but
them all together.
Exactly
that's
what
not
the current
due process.
Law does. And it allows them to make their case.
Guys,
and what the Republicans want to do is make it so they don't have a chance to make their case. They want them turned away at the border.
And through all of this, the group of people that feels deprioritized are Americans. And that's why you're seeing the shift, because Americans are saying we have issues at home. We have crime problems. We have jobs problems. We have a number of issues at home. And guess what? We're tired of worrying about everybody else when no one's worrying about us.
Yeah.
That's why there's
been solve a the meth
yeah.
problem in Montana.
Well, we have children
really?
Suffering
we
right
have
here.
Children suffering here in this country who aren't lawbreakers. You cannot break
they're
the
not
law.
Lawbreakers.
Period.
They're seeking
many
asylum.
Are breaking the law.
By the way, this debate is happening.
And there we have it from Fox News. And we hear this argument all the time. Is it our duty to pay for other people's children? 580-5436. Tom Munn's with us. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO. Hello, Tom.
I was wondering how long you were going to let that go on before you shut it off.
I think it pretty much underscores what's going on across the country.
Well, you know what's really sad? I mean, it breaks my heart to hear this because the government is getting its way by having a fight about these issues, and there are no foundations that were ever explained in any one of those arguments. Not once was the Constitution talked about. We become a more anti-God country, and everybody's supporting separation of church and state until the liberals decide to throw the Bible against the Christians. You know, and this goes along with, I've been on Facebook with the Jews and everything else, and that's an extremely contentious issue, and you have to walk very, very carefully. But most people that stand on the patriotic ideals of the Constitution still aren't even adhering or honoring the limitations of foreign entanglements through the Constitution. And I guess what I'm saying is that we really have no foundation. We are an ignorant populace. We have no idea what our principles are anymore. And we can sit there and argue about random sort of ideas without being based on any fact in law at all. And that's really, truly sad. I mean, we have a United States Code. I think it's Title 8, Immigration. Why don't they start talking about the law? Why don't they start talking about specifics? Why don't they start talking about the fact that the Constitution only allows government to be able to have certainly...
You know, that, Tom, that's great about the Constitution here at 580KIDO, but we're talking about children. And I'm not saying that to be insensitive, but we have gotten rid of the rule of law and we're run by emotion. Look, we all know what's going to happen once Congress leaves for their unnecessary five-week vacation, and the president is going to grab his pen. He's going to say, go ahead, make my day, impeach me, and he's going to legalize these folks. It really comes down to picking the people from other countries over good, honest Americans that are looking for jobs, that are looking for a future. Look, if you've got kids, I don't have to tell you, what's their future?
Well, we have to realize that it's kind of interesting that most of us forget that, oh, how many times Obama has used the children against the people. That's what Hitler did. That's what other, from what I read about other totalitarian states, that's what they've all done. This is not just children. If you go to some of these other news sites, they've got adults that are going in here and doing this. And they're gangbangers and everything else like you've mentioned before.
Well, wait a minute. We can't turn away the children, and then we can't turn away their parents.
Well, wait a minute.
And then we can't,
Kevin,
then we can't turn away, Tom, then we can't turn away Uncle Bob.
I know that, but I'm glad that you're being
facetious
or the devil's advocate on this, because, you know, the idea is why don't we just open, there's no point in having borders then. If a nation is not defined by its borders, then let's go ahead and abolish the borders. And you know what? We can have the North American Union that people had thought was a tin-hatted conspiracy theory years ago that they're working towards through the through all of these issues, through the open borders there, through the fast-track authority, through foreign trade agreements, and the rest of it. Why don't we just all flush the toilet to this nation and not give a crap? Because we're the last thing we are is a Christian nation. I'm going to tell you that right now. We're the most ungodly, most ironic, most pathetic country in the world.
Well, that's something to wake up to, Tom. Thank you for the call. By the way, Chris Troupas, what do you have to say?
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
You know, this is our purpose here. We've got to reach the people. We've got to reach the people. How do we do that? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We got to stop hating.
Stop just hating all the time.
All right. Thank you, sir. You're listening to Kevin Miller. Let's get you to work safely.
And back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
78 degrees right now in Star. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, we go one-on-one with Wayne Allen Root. If you want, you have any questions concerning prognostication, well, no, not really there. He's a successful businessman, the libertarian candidate for president possibly, but he went to school with the president. It's been a while. We used to talk to him a couple of years ago, like once a month. So kind of like old home day for Wayne Allen Root. We'll have him in. And how do we top that? Our friend, Stephen Yates, is the new chairman of the state GOP. We wish Mary Peterson well, but over the weekend, I can't believe that they made that great of a move to bring in Stephen Yates. If you haven't heard from him or don't understand his vision for the party and for Idaho, it is must listen to radio coming up at 8:30 with us here at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on. And it's 79 in Wilder. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, the latest about the Ebola virus. And here's something that I wonder. What happens if we ran out of water? Are you ready to go? Much more than those folks in Toledo. By the way, the water's back on in Toledo for all you mudheads.